the reaction you're showing. And the idea is that you can surrender yourself to other people. You can let other people have control of you by your reaction. You're not deciding how you'll act. Somebody can do something knowing that they'll get you to respond. And by and large, you've come to the place where you've surrendered control. The Lord does not want us to do that. And reactions are like that. Reactions really give the key to our lives to someone else so that they can decide how we're going to act. And Joseph's life is an extended example of that. Most of us that are here tonight have a pretty good idea of his life. There will be some exceptions to that, but if you've studied Scripture, he's a favorite character. He's sold into slavery by his brothers, and after he's sold into slavery, he still finds himself in places where he can be successful. And it's because he reacted to the circumstances around him in a proper way, in a way that was acceptable to God. And what we want to do is, as we go through the story of his life, we want to seek an answer to the question, why did he react the way he did? Or what was the key to him reacting in the way that he reacted? Because that's really what we need to find. Most of us could say what the right reaction ought to be, but having the power or ability to follow through with that reaction is where we often struggle. And so as we go through Joseph's life, that's what we want to come to. That's what we want to figure out, is how did he do that? And so we've come to this point in the study where we have to look at the idea of God's path for your life, because God's path for Joseph's life was not the same as the path that Joseph thought his life would follow. Let me tell you how I would perceive that, and it could be wrong, but I think you could make a good argument for this. Here's Joseph as a young man, and you remember he told his brothers the dreams. He told them a dream about the sheaves bowing down to him, and then he told his brothers and his mom and dad the dream about the sun, moon, and stars bowing down to him. And so here's this young man who has God's leading in his life, and he senses that God is going to do something great with him. Now, he doesn't know how that's going to be fulfilled, but Joseph knows that there is a promise from God to his great-grandfather. Who would his great-grandfather have been? Abraham. We have Abraham, and here's his great-grandfather has this promise from God that he's going to be the father of many nations, and he's going to have seed as the stars of heaven. And so here is this promise that's in his family, and probably as Joseph thinks through these dreams that God has given him, he's thinking, God's going to use me somehow to fulfill this prophecy, and I'm going to be the head of a nation of people. And in doing that, then somehow this is going to come true, that my brothers are going to bow down to me, even my mom and dad. Maybe I'm going to become the king of a nation, and even mom and dad at that point would bow down to me. I don't know if he's thinking that way, but that would make logical sense. If he is kind of working this out in his own mind, I could see how he would come to that conclusion. And so in his mind, he would be thinking something along the line that God is going to use me here with my family. He's going to elevate me. We're going to somehow become a nation. I'm going to gain more and more authority, not power in a negative sense, but God is going to establish me. And I can see how God is going to work this out, because he's already made this promise to my great-grandfather. And so I understand what God is doing here. Well, then all of a sudden, he finds himself in bondage, headed to Egypt. And not only in bondage, but when he gets there, he's sold to this man named Potiphar. And as he's in Potiphar's house, God doesn't seem to do anything to deliver him from that. And we looked last week a little bit at the timetable. I found something else that helps us with that a little bit. But we know he was there at least 10 years in Potiphar's house. But what's amazing about this is that even though he would have thought God's path for my life is one way, God turned it a different way, and he was okay with that. He said, this is how God is going to work. I'm fine with that. I'm not going to argue with God. I'm going to continue to do what God wants me to do. And so as we've gone through this, we've picked out several things. We understand that in chapter 39, He's in his confinement, and he's serving in Potiphar's house. And the first six verses of this tell us how it goes well. The Potiphar recognizes that God's hand is upon him, turns everything over to Joseph, and he really is the one who directs everything in the house. And the last part of this tells us that he is handsome in form and appearance. And it is one of those areas where life is good. And we parked here a little bit when we were going through this. It's easy to react when things are going good. It's easy to be excited. Did you see the story today? I kind of felt bad for these guys. You know, the lottery was up to 1.5 billion. Billion. What's 3 5 million? 300, couple hundred million. But these guys in a restaurant pooled their money, and I think it was $210. They bought tickets, and so about 11:20, I guess the drawing's 11 o'clock, 11:20, they went onto the website. Did you see this? Yeah. And they compared the numbers to their ticket, and they won. And one guy was a dishwasher. He even took his apron off, and he threw it down and quit. I'm out of here. And, you know, they have video of all this. They're dancing around and, you know, rah, rah, rah. The lottery had not updated the numbers yet. It was last week's numbers. And so these guys were so excited. Their reaction was, you know, just, yeah! And the guy picked up his apron, put it back on, and back to work. But it's easy to react when things are going well. It's easy to react properly. And even though Joseph is a slave, things are going well. He's in charge. God has given him an abundance of things, even though he's not with his family, he's not where he's planning to be. But the fact is that even when things are going well, there can be a turn that is really ugly in life. And many of you have been like that, or through that. Sometimes it's something that's completely out of your control, as it was in this case. When it's not going well, here's Joseph, and it says that his master's wife looked with desire upon Joseph, with lustful desire. And Joseph shows us a little bit of his worldview in verse 9. And that's when he gives us the explanation. You know, my master's given me rule over everything in the house. There's only one thing that he hasn't given me, and that's you. And he hasn't given me you because you're his wife. And then he finishes his explanation by saying, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? This is his understanding of life. Even after 10 years of being in a heathen environment, even after 10 years of not being in church, as it were, of not being exhorted and encouraged by other people, here's a man at this point who has said, I have this fortitude and this character, I have this understanding of God, and regardless of what else happens, I have an obligation to God, and I'm not going to do this wickedness and sin against him. Well, the result is that this lady, Potiphar's wife, decides that she's going to continue to go after him, and day by day, and he's in his house to do his work. This is a repetitive thing. You could look at him and say, well, he shouldn't have gone into the house. That's his job. He was the caretaker of the estate. Well, he was in there one day. Nobody else was in the house, and there's a false accusation. And I don't think we read this last week, but it's pretty, you can see how it would go. There's this lady, and she's rebuffed a number of times, and finally, he's in there by himself. She grabs hold of him, and his coat stays in her hand. It's obviously his. And she hangs on to that. It's interesting. This is the second time that a piece of his garment will be used against him as a testimony against him. His brothers used his coat of many colors to prove he was dead. This time, the lady's going to use the garment to try to prove that he was trying to be improper with her. But here's a man, and this is really what we need to get out of this, who is going along, and in spite of the path that God has put him on, in spite of the unfairness of the whole situation, he's done his best. He has faithfully served, faithfully represented God. He's had a great testimony before other people. He has put himself out for a master that he probably doesn't want to be serving. And he has risen to the top. He's the cream. And now God lets this happen. You have to kind of feel for it. He's already suffering, and now God's going to let something else bad happen that's completely out of his control. Here's a lady accusing him of improper behavior, and he didn't do it. He had done everything he could to be upright about this. He's faithfully serving, and then all of a sudden, he ends up in bondage again. Now, at this point, we have the question of how are you going to react? Let me ask, is there anybody in here that you felt like you've at times just been faithfully going along, doing your job, doing your work, and all of a sudden something happens that's completely out of your control, and you get the brunt of it, even though you could legitimately say, I didn't deserve it. Anybody like that? Yeah. It happens a lot. And sometimes we tend to take the response or have the response, God, can't you see this? Don't you know what's going on? Couldn't you stop this? And what's the obvious answer? Could he? Yes. But for whatever reason, he's chosen not to. In Joseph's case, you and I, here on a Wednesday night in 2016, I got the year right, you should be impressed. 2016, we know the end of the story. But if we didn't know the end of the story, if we were to put ourselves in this circumstance, that's a hard one to take. It really is. It's a difficult one to take when you're the one who's faithfully serving and you end up in bondage. And so he goes from being the servant in Potiphar's house, the ruler in Potiphar's house, really. He's got everything he could want there. He goes from that to being in jail. And so you have this false accusation, and then the master comes home. Let's go down to verse 19 of chapter 39. And it came to pass, when Joseph's master heard the words of his wife, which he spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy slave or thy servant to me, and his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. So, I've heard people say, you know, I don't really think that the master believed the accusation against Joseph. What do you think? Did he believe it or not? Charles? Okay. All right. Okay. Anybody argue the other side? See, that's the one that gets me. And I'm with Charles in that I think this guy had to know his wife, and he didn't have him killed. But it clearly uses the word, there was some wrath there. There was some anger. And it seemed to be at Joseph. But then on the other hand, where did he put him? It's significant where he sent him. What's the other option? There are a couple other options, actually. Charles, what did he not do to him? What did he not do to Joseph? Yeah, he could have easily had him killed. Yeah, he's a slave, Hebrew. Yeah, Chip? Okay. Yeah, I think it would be reasonable to think he was really angry, and you know, you have to stick by your wife, and so he's got to do something. And then the more he thinks about it, he thinks, well, this is just not like Joseph. But so he puts him in the prison for the king's servants. He doesn't put him in the regular prison. So he puts him in a place where he's not going to be treated as harshly. He's not going to be killed. Michael?
And Toby never told me that
I don't think there's...
He said, well, I'm sorry. I said, well,
yeah.
I was here.
Yeah, Proverbs talks about the man who believes the story the first person tells him. I worked for a man like this one. I had to learn to get to him with the story first. Because if somebody else got there, I was toast. It didn't matter what the facts were. He believed the first thing he heard. And maybe he just believed that right away. Maybe he was tired. Who knows? Either way, it does seem
how are you?
That there was some... I'm not going to kill him. I'm not going to put him in the prison where he's treated the gang labor, you know, just in the awful part of it. He puts him in the king's prison. And so in spite of the anger, he finds himself in jail. And it is a place where they kept the king's prisoners, and he's in a place that he certainly doesn't want to be. So then you come to this place where he is in the jail, and in verse 21, let's go back to this and read the end of this chapter.
Yeah, I've got official document, not transcript.
The
Lord knows I'll hear about that too.
He showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison.
Shade it?
The keeper of the prison committed to Joseph.
Yeah, I was just thinking that.
All the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it, or he was responsible for it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Now, do you recognize the terminology at the end of verse 23? If you're reading in King James, the Lord made it to prosper. Do you recognize that terminology? Where did you see that before?
No, what?
Yeah, look back at verses 1 through 6. And I think I told you this was one of those things that you could underline if you like, if you want to. But it says specifically in verse 2, and the Lord was with Joseph. And again in verse 3, the Lord was with him. And that the Lord made all that he did to prosper. And in verse 5, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house. And here's God making things go well. God can make things go miserably, and God can make things go well. I think it's significant when the scripture says, but the Lord was with him. How many times do we get in an ugly situation and we forget that very truth? That's easy to do. I mean, I'm not one that would rebuke you because, you know, sometimes we get in a situation, and I've been there where you get in this situation, and you just think the Lord took a nap. He's just not here with me. But Joseph knew that. And this is a big part of why he could react the way he did. Because regardless of what situation he found himself in, he knew the Lord was with him. And he knew the Lord was going to do something. And by the time he's in there a little while, he becomes responsible for the other prisoners. He's the supervisor that the root term is actually the word supervisor in there. And it says the guy who's in charge of the prison has so recognized Joseph's abilities that here's Joseph in that place again where he can pretty much do whatever he wants except leave the prison. And he would stay there because of his honor. And it's impressive that you have this guy who's willing to do this. You're at the place where it can't get a lot worse, or at least you feel like it can't get a lot worse. But he's still going to make the best of a bad situation. And I think that's the hardest thing for us to do in our reactions sometimes, is we get to the place where we finally just say, I quit. I give up. I'm just curious, and I'm not going to answer this before I ask it. How many of you, if you made it through the first round, you got sold, you were in slavery in Potiphar's house, and you decided, okay, God, put me here, I'm going to do my part, and you make it through that. You get to the second round, and you're in prison. How many of you would still have had a good attitude? I don't know that a lot of people are going to claim that. And I'd have to be with you. I mean, you really do get to this place where you think, the Lord can't be with me here. I don't know how to explain it, but God, I don't see you in this. I don't see how any good can ever come from this. You are in the situation that Job's in, where you have marital problems, medical problems. You have friends that are not very helpful, and you're just ready to quit. This is where you could easily be if you were Joseph at this point. You could have the sour face. This is hard, hard, hard to do. It's extremely difficult to keep that kind of reaction in these ugly situations where you're not where you want to be, you're not where you rightfully ought to be, you're unfairly accused, and you don't see any way out of it. And as far as Joseph can tell at this point, even though the Lord's made him prosper in prison, there is no way out of this. Who's going to get him out of this prison? Potiphar can't, because then his wife's going to be mad at him. So maybe he's praying for Potiphar's wife to die. I don't know. But there's no way out as far as he can tell. He's stuck there. And so if anything's going to happen, it's going to have to be God. So you come to this point where even the Lord making him to prosper, you still feel a little frustrated because his circle of influence is shrinking and has shrunk about as far as it can shrink. And maybe people outside the prison knew about him, but probably not a lot of people. All right? So, what's the source of his reactions? I told you what we want to do as we go through is make sure we keep in our minds what causes him to react the way he does. Well, I put a couple of things down here. Chip, what are you going to say? Yeah. You've got a key there, but you would have to make, I think, a proper assumption that he didn't have a sour face and an ugly spirit, because both Potiphar and the chief jailer, if they saw that, wouldn't go well for you. So, I think so too. I think that, you know, we would have had some inkling of that. Every sense that we get is that he tried to be godly. He tried to do the right thing in his reaction. So, a couple of things here. When we go back and we ask, you know, what was his reaction when he was sold to the Ishmaelites? What's the source of his proper spirit when he's sold to the Ishmaelites? The truth is, we don't have anything there that tells us here's why he reacted the way he did. We can go back and draw some other things out from his past, where he knew God was speaking to him. God had given him these dreams, and he was a young man of character. But we don't really have much there. But it would certainly seem that when he's sold to the Ishmaelites, he still has a good spirit in spite of that. We don't have any details on that. But what about when he was purchased by Potiphar? Do we ever have anything there that indicates to us here's why he reacted the way he did? You're going to have to infer, but it's there for us. Why did he react the way he did? What did he still know? Yes. Right. Right. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. He is a man of character. He is going to be faithful. He has the knowledge of God. All right? Keep going with that. What is it about God that he knows? And this phrase that he says back in verse 9, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God, implies a lot to us. What is it that he knows that helps him to react properly? Todd? He knew what? There, yes. Okay? That's where I'm wanting you to go. Okay? I saw another hand over here, I think. Charles? Yeah. Yeah, he held on to what he was taught. I think Nancy that mentioned to me afterward last week, you have to be pretty impressed that whoever taught him in the first 17 years, they did a really good job. It carries over. Most of the time, I fear for a 17-year-old to be put in the Potiphar's wife situation. It is rare that they will sustain their own purity during that. And this is impressive that he's taught that and he has the character to do that. It's clear that he knows God is still there. He said, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? God is still here. God is still watching. I'm still accountable to him. His reaction was based upon the fact that everything he had been taught in these 17 years, he had taken hold of, and those things were still true even in the bad situation. And he had to react rightly if he was going to have a right relationship with God. You move on. When he's falsely accused and wrongly imprisoned. Well, we're asking that a little ahead, so we're going to kind of leave that hanging, because he's going to reveal that to us again. And all of this is going to come back to the same source. It really is going to come back to one central idea, that he reacts the way he does because he can transcend the situation that he's in by seeing God. How is God at work? What is God doing? And it's not saying he likes what's going on. It's just saying that he sees that God is still God. And God has not lost control of the situation. So, we go then to interpreting dreams. And this takes us through two chapters that we, for our purposes, we don't need to spend a whole lot of time. I'd like to go through the story just to make sure we get it. And I think we'd have time to get through chapter 40. Here, it's the story of the butler and the baker. So let's go to chapter 40, and we're going to read a lot of this, and I want you just to get some ideas out of this so that you see what takes place. But we're going to look for some key phrases in here as well. In chapter 40, it says, "And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was furious." King James uses the word wroth, but it's also translated furious against two of his officials, or his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in ward, or confinement, in the house of the captain of the guard, into the prison, the place where Joseph was imprisoned or bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them. Interesting term there. He served them. And they continued a season in ward. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning, and observed or looked upon them, and said, and behold, they were dejected or sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers, that were with him in the ward of the Lord's house, or of his master's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly today? And they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream. There is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph, and said to him, in my dream, behold, a vine was before me. And in the vine were three branches, and it was as though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said unto him, this is the interpretation of it, the three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place. And thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed, I was stolen, or in fact kidnapped, away from the land of the Hebrews. And here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, I also was in my dream, and behold, I had three white baskets on my head, and in the uppermost basket there was of all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh, and the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head. And Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation thereof. The three baskets are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head from off thee, and shall hang thee on a tree, and the birds shall eat thy flesh from off thee. And it came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants. And he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. And he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again. And he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. Now, as we read through that, there are a couple of significant phrases that we need to latch onto. For one thing, I was lost, but I found myself. Yeah. There are a couple of things in here that are important for us. Before we get to what's on the screen, if you go to verse 4, it says, the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season in ward. I was looking for any clues as we went through here how long Joseph is in prison. And here's the only other term. We'll find another one here in just a minute. And then these two men dream a dream. But in verse 8, this is where, in my Bible, I've got a little star, and I have a little connection going on here between some verses. But in verse 8, they tell him he has a dream, and when Joseph responds, he said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray thee. Now, when he makes that statement, that reveals to us again where Joseph's mind is, even while he's in prison. Don't the interpretations of dreams belong to God? What does that tell you about Joseph even now while he's in prison? Charles? Okay, possibly. All started with dreams, yep. Yep. All right. Don't get too complicated with it. What does it tell you about him? So, guys, we're in prison, but all interpretations of dreams belong to God. He still has the mind of God. He's still in fellowship with the Lord. Chipper? Yeah. Yeah. He still hasn't given up on God. He's still, even in the middle of this turmoil in his life, he is still able to point people to God. This is, again, I keep saying this phrase, this is difficult. How many times when we're in these awful, unfair situations and somebody else comes to us with a problem, how often are we actually the ones that reach out to other people and say, you know what, you need to see God in this. You need to seek God for the interpretation of your dream. I admire this man. Because how many times have I been in a situation that I'm just really struggling and feeling like things are going bad and things are not going the way I planned for them to and wanting out of the situation, and somebody else comes along with what I would consider less of a problem. You had a dream, huh? Okay. But here's this guy who is reaching out to people and saying, you know what, God can help you with that. God can give you the interpretation, and I may be the one to be the messenger. And I have to admire him for his ability, his willingness to continue to be used by God. When you come to verse 14, it says, but think on me when it shall be well with thee. He was confident of his interpretation. And the idea is, just keep me in mind when you get there. And this is the first recorded mention of his situation. We're at least 10 years into it. And this is the first time that he says, you know, I want you to know what's happened to me. He doesn't say it in a way that's complaining and griping, but I think it's good for us to understand that he's not saying, well, whatever happens is good. He was willing to say, you know, I really want out of this situation. I think at this point he'd want to go back and see his father, but he's clearly willing to relay to this man what happened to him. He said, I was kidnapped out of the land, and I even here, I'm falsely accused. So he's not willing to just stand back and let anything happen to him. He's willing to defend himself in a proper mindset and in a proper way. When you come to verse 23, I think this is an extremely sad verse. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. He didn't remember him. There are a lot of people who will speculate why this was so. It could be that once the chief butler got back to his position, he was in such a weak position that he felt like he didn't have any authority to go get this guy out of prison. It could very well be that because Joseph is a Hebrew, that he doesn't want to extend himself for somebody he considers ethnically unlike the Egyptian people. I don't know what the reason is. Maybe he just got back to this position and thought it'll never be a problem, and so I'll just leave him there and let him rot. He can never hurt me. Here again is a guy, you know, if I were Joseph and I got to the second in command, who's one of the guys I'd be looking up? Yeah, he'd be coming to see me, but not Joseph. But I think this is a sad verse because it says he's got this hope. There's finally this way out. And boy, we've been through that. That I see the answer. The butler is in here. The butler's a powerful guy in the king's palace. And I've helped him. And my one request was, remember me when you get out of here. Boy, it's looking good. It's just going to be a few more days and he's going to come to get me. And just surely just a few more days. And can't be long now. And I found this while I was studying this. Go down to the next verse, chapter 41, verse 1. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. That means for 2 whole years, Joseph is maybe thinking, butler's going to remember me? Well, he promised. And how dejected you could become at that point. And it would be very easy in all of these circumstances to react the wrong way. Yet the reason we're looking at this extended illustration is because we want to understand that even when God puts us through the most difficult of circumstances, it is not only possible, it is expected of us that we remember that God is still with us. God has not misplaced you. Now, the difference between us and Joseph's situation is often we get ourselves into the situation that we're in. We've made the choices, and we do deserve to be where we are. And it isn't unfair a lot of times. We literally deserve to be in the situation we're in because of the choices that we've made. Is God still with you in those situations? God's still willing to help you out of those. Now, you may have consequences, but God is still there, and he would like to help you. But here's Joseph, and none of that applies to him. He's in this situation through no fault of his own, yet he still trusts God. And I can tell you at this point, at the end of 2 years, he's still trusting the Lord. When we go to chapter 41, he will be called up to interpret a second dream. And when he gets there, at that point, he's going to reveal to us again what he thinks of God. And the whole point is that he never lost an understanding that God was in control of the situation and God was with him. And that God was observing how he was going to respond, even when he's not only in prison, but now he has dashed hope because he thought he was going to get out, and for 2 years he hasn't gotten out. But he's able to react in a way that pleases God. And God's going to use that. And God will use that in us as well. All right, we're going to stop there. Next Wednesday we'll come back to this. We'll pick it up at chapter 41. He's going to interpret another set of dreams, and then we're going to start through the process of him interacting with his brothers once again down the road. All right, let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll pass out a prayer sheet. Lord, we thank you for your kindness. And again, we thank you for illustrations that you give us. And certainly Joseph challenges us as we find ourselves in situations that often are not even comparable to what he's in. And Lord, I pray you'll help us to see you and to sense your presence. You've given us the comfort of your Holy Spirit because we're believers. And I pray that you'll help us to recognize that and that you'll help us to respond to him in a way that would honor you. We pray for your blessing on the end of our service. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we have a prayer sheet we're going to hand out. And as we do that, any questions or comments on the passages that we looked at tonight? Joseph in general up to this point. Thank you, sir.